Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 19. And we're looking at the last verse, the 19th verse. And we're talking about the keys of the kingdom. And we talked about getting control over yourself, getting control over your mind, getting control over your feelings or emotions, getting control over your flesh, your desires, and learning to have control over what's going on in your life as far as circumstances are concerned. Some people don't think, whenever something happens in their lives, they think they have no control over it. And so what happens in our lives is the result of what decisions we have made and how we are thinking. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 19. I'm going to reiterate some things I said yesterday, Wednesday. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this word of faith tonight. We want to thank you for revelation, clarity of knowledge. I pray that the word will go accurately. I pray that people's minds will be open, hearts receptive, that they'll not only just be hearers, but doers of the word of God, and to be recipients of all that the word contains. So we thank you in advance for what this word will do for our lives. In Jesus' name. So last week we talked about the keys of the kingdom. The Bible says here that Jesus said in verse 19, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." So we have said that keys denote you are in control, that you have power, that you make decisions. You're the one that should make the decisions. Whatever goes on in your life, we'll say a little bit more about that later. But we have to know that we have the keys, or we have the control over our lives. Lots of people like to they like to delegate the responsibility of their actions and what happens in their lives to someone else. They like to say what happened to them is a result of someone else, and that is true to an extent, but if someone made decisions, you don't have to stay in a certain kind of rut. You can make decisions that can take control of your own lives or remove yourself from people who are affecting you. So this gives us the idea that we're not helpless. We have power. We have control. We don't have to be dominated by anybody. We don't have to be dominated by the devil. We don't have to be dominated by life circumstances. Of course, we have noted on several times, Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, we rule as kings in this life. And it starts out by you beginning to say what God says about you. You need to say what God says, who you are, what you have, and what you can do. There's over 132 words in the New Testament that declare who you are, what you can do, what you have, and what God will do through you. And so we have power. We have control over our destiny. God, things don't just happen haphazardly, and things don't happen because that's the way God designed it. And, having bad luck here while God in heaven has determined that. God doesn't determine anybody to be a failure. God didn't design you to become poor, or he didn't design you to be sick. God has, there's a prayer, disciples asked Jesus, I believe in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, and they asked him how to pray, and Jesus gave them principles about how to pray. And he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Well, his kingdom has come. His kingdom has come in our lives. So that prayer is not, the prayer we pray to get today, but we can take the principle of what he said. We're going to pray that God's kingdom will manifest in our lives. Jesus said the kingdom has arrived if you're born again in your heart. Thy kingdom come, notice this, thy will be done. The will of God be done on earth where we live as it is in heaven. There's no sickness and disease up there. There's no devil controlling anyone up in heaven. And God doesn't want the devil to control you in this life. Thy will be done, meaning that you can take control over what the devil has stolen from you. Can you say amen? Amen. So is the devil controlling you? People say, well, you know, I can't help it. The devil's, he come to my house. He's making me afraid. And he's making me smoke those cigarettes and make me watch bad movies, Netflix all night. And I have this bottle under my bed and I can't stop drinking it. And so they say all kinds of stuff like that. They want to believe that, tell you that the devil did it. But he didn't do it. You let him do it. And so we said that you decide on your future. You can take control right now and decide what's going to happen next in your life. Come on now. I said, you can decide what's going to happen next. You decide to get married. You decide to buy a car. You decide to go to school. You decide to stay in Thunder Bay. Amen? Praise God, eh? You decide which church you're going to go. The devil doesn't control that. You decide where God told you what God told you, and that's where you go. You can listen to God, or you can listen to the devil, or you can listen to your flesh. Okay? So, you decide in the future. We said that you have control over the enemy. Let's go and look at the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. I think we'll go visit Luke this evening. The book of Luke, chapter 10. Can you find that? I didn't have that on my notes, Miss Stephanie, but we will. You can figure this all out since you're a high-flying, driving machine. Luke chapter 10. Let's go to verse 17 to pick up the whole idea. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, you think about a cartoon. I kind of think about a cartoon at this section when Jesus gave the devil a good punch and he saw stars and he fell from heaven. And I think about that. That's what I think about, that he fell from heaven. And that's what it seemed like over here. But he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Well, where did he fall? He fell from the first heaven to the second heaven. And it's in the second heaven where he kind of tries to control everything. You remember the book of Daniel? When Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9 and 10, Daniel was praying and The Bible says it took him 21 days before he got his answer, before it manifested. But the Bible says in chapter 9, I think it's 23, says that God said, that, or Gabriel said, the angel said to Daniel, he said, from the very first day that you prayed, God answered. But it took 21 days because there's a prince of Persia which stood him to bring the answer. And there's a demonic force stopping something to come to the heaven where we are. But I want to let you know that those devils in the heaven, in the heavens there, those are the same devils that was preventing the answer to come to Daniel. Those are the same devils that Jesus defeated for us. Amen. Amen. So he says they're all under our feet. And now it's up to you and I. Let's go to verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I give you power. I believe that's exousia. That's authority, dominion, control. I'll give you authority. God gives us His authority, His power. He's given us His power. He's delegated power to us that we can do something with the power. We can make choices today. I want to notice this over here. I like this over in the Amplified Version. If you Amplified Version, I'm looking at, I think it's just a regular Amplified Version. If you go to Amplified Version, he says, behold, I give you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Those are types of enemy. He said, and physical and mental strength and ability. Everybody say, I have mental strength and ability. Now, I want you to let you know that the devil can't control, he can't control your mind. Everybody say, I have mental control because Jesus gave it to me. So you have to understand this. This is very important for you to know, because I went through something. I remember one time I was casting a devil out of somebody, and happened to be in a church. And we're going to do some casting out in a few minutes here. No, I'm just kidding. Only if the Lord shows us. And let me just answer this. You know, somebody says, can a Christian have a devil? Well, not really. I mean, the devil can't have, you can't be possessed by a devil if you're a Christian. Because you cannot squeeze in there. The Holy Ghost is inside you. Amen? He's in there. He lives inside you. You know, 1 John 4:4, it says that he that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. He's inside you. Holy Ghost lives inside you. And once we were casting a spirit out of someone, and they start manifesting, start talking. I don't want to leave here. And stuff like that. You know, I hate you. They start talking. Well, I didn't want to talk to devils, but they start talking. They use a woman's voice, a man's voice. And so we cast those spirits out, and all of a sudden I just felt like an attack on me. But thank God I know about the blood of Jesus. I understand about the power of God. And I went through that whole situation. I was able to cast the spirit out of that person. This person was a Christian, or at least became a Christian later, and was infected again. But you know, you can have a spirit attack you, but you can also loosen yourself from the spirit if it try to get on you. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And they're here. They're in town. And different ones hang around different places. If you want to see different kinds, you go to different sections of the town. If you want to go see sophisticated ones, go to some nice places. They act really nice, but they're bad. They're all bad. And so, anyway, we won't talk about that anymore. I'm scaring some people. But anyway, sometimes it happens. People do have spirits, and we have to take control and authority over them, because when people get infected, you know, they need to know that they can control the situation. You can control your situation. Notice the scripture here. I mean, that's not on my notes again. Colossians chapter 1. Paul is praying. I'm talking about having control, getting control over your life. And there's only two people that has really made havoc in your life. The first one is you. You got to take hold of yourself. But people don't realize, they don't realize that they can take control over themselves. And so they blame the devil. Or they say, I can't help it. I need tobacco. And I can't quit. I can't stop getting mad. They see things like that. I can't control my anger. No, you can control the anger. You just don't want to. And so they say things like that, and so they blame things, people and stuff. And they say, well, I can't stop being depressed. Well, what are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about dying and running out of money. Well, I'd be depressed too if I started thinking that way. So you have control. These people say, well, I'm afraid. I got this kind of fear. I got that kind of fear. I can't control it. I'm shaking like a leaf. I get anxiety problems. Your anxiety comes from fear. And you can control that. Once you know that you can actually control these things, then you can be free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. I believe it's the 8th chapter of the book of John. You shall know the truth, I think verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will get you bound up. No, we'll get you free, right? We'll get you, set you free. And you can be free today. Did we find Colossians? Or is it, did we say Colossians, chapter 1? Let's go to chapter 1, let's go to verse 12. And Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made his meat. Well, that word meat means able. He's made me able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. He says that we are partakers. God made you to be a participant. Someone who can partake in the covenant things that belong to you. Then in verse 12, it tells you what he's giving thanks for. In verse 13, he says, who will one day deliver me from the power of darkness? Is that what he says? Who, he might do it one of these days if I pray hard enough. No, he didn't say that. He's giving thanks because God has. He's already done something. He already delivered you from the power of darkness. In other words, anything that's going to destroy or try to destroy your life in your mind, in your emotion realm, your soulless realm, or your physical realm, anything there, that God has already delivered you. And the trouble is that people don't have information. They've never been taught. They've been taught that, oh, you know, God, he's the one that's actually controlling that. He's put that on you. He's given you a weak mind. And there's nothing you can do about it. And hopefully you'll make it out of here without being too hurt. Is that what he said? That's what people think. So they live like that. They don't know anything. So he says, who has delivered us from the power, that word means the dominion, the control of darkness. In other words, darkness, the devil, his kingdom cannot control you anymore. Some people were lied to, that the devil said, I'm going to control you. You'll be depressed and have anxiety problems for the rest of your life. You'll just be depressed and just try to put up with it, make sure, you know, just try to get along, maybe have some pills once in a while, and maybe just go and get drunk once in a while. Forget about it, take a long trip, go in the bush and look at the stars, try to forget about it. Take a long trip. And when you're on the trip, you kind of forget about things. You look at the rocks as you drive by, or look at the mountain, you know, and you forget about how bad it is. But then you come back home, it's still waiting for you. Are you here? Wave at me if you're here. Can somebody wake that guy up over here behind you? Tell him to wake up. That's Ed. Ed, yeah. Wave at me, Ed. Is that you? Okay, good. So he has delivered us. Now I want you to see that. He didn't say he's going to try to do this. Hopefully it's going to happen. You have to know right now that God has delivered you from the power of darkness. Let's go look at it in the Amplified version, because you know it gives us a little bit more amplification, gives us more meaning there from you know the verbiage here that's given to us in the King James version, because it's not as clear. We will see that. This is a good to be thankful for. How many people would thank God for that? You already delivered. I mean, you might not walk like it. You might not look like it. Okay, so giving thanks to the Father, verse 12, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints. Now, God's holy people in light. Now, this is the portion, verse 11. Or is it 13? Let's go to 13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control. Say, everybody say, out of the control. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you can just get up right now and do a little dance, right? It says, he's delivered us out of the control, notice this, and the dominion of darkness, that's all devils. Any kind of devil you want to mention, he's controlled. He has, you know, hairy ones, slimy ones, whatever kind, he's already delivered you from every one of them. Lying devils, smoking devils, coffee devils, all kinds of them. Amen. And he's waiting for you outside over there. And you get when you get back out there, he said, "Praise God, I'm delivered from tobacco and all that. Praise God, hallelujah." When you walk out there, tobacco is waiting for you out there. But you still have control over it. Yeah. So he has transferred us in the kingdom of his dear Son. So we're in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom of Jesus, of God, of his dear Son, and then we have keys. If you're in the dominion, you have keys to unlock doors. Amen. You have keys. Jesus said, "I give you keys of the kingdom." That's the kingdom he's talking about over here. Kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light. Well, okay, let me just talk about this second, because you might not understand this at the moment. So the Father has delivered you out of the kingdom, out of control of dominion. He's done that. But if you as a Christian decide you're not going to untangle yourself from the, if you're going to continue to do things that are evil and not right and not really in line with the will of God, then the devil can continue to control you. If you decide to, I don't know if that's true or not, then yeah, well, he wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that you don't have any control, because he can have control over your life and do a lot of other things, a lot of other damage in your life. So people just let themselves, let life happen to me. But you can be proactive. And start calling those things which be not as though they were. Start calling yourself healed when you're sick right now. Amen. Call yourself you have all the needs met when you don't have a need met yet. Thank God that we have all our needs met. So we were delivered out of control. Let's go to John 8:32, since we're kind of visiting other places. We You know, we're going to do, I give you my notes, but, you know, we have freedom. We can just do what we want. Amen? Glory to God. So he says, Jesus said, you will know the truth. You know, what is the truth? That's the way we say it back home, the truth. You know? When I came to town, I was about 17 years old, and I still had the Rez talk real hard. I mean, real, just down, you know, right down the Rez talk. Real, all my English was like, I learned English from the French people. And they don't speak English very well. And so my English was like, this is the truth here. So we didn't have the TH, so you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free, right? I don't have Corey's wife here tonight. She likes that. So you shall know the truth. What is the truth? The truth is God's word. The word of God will set you free. When you get the word of God, when the word is preached to you, faith is there immediately. When the word of God is preached to your ears, faith is there right away. So right now, you're getting faith to get yourself untangled out of the devil. Or even yourself. A lot of you guys have been tangling yourself. Tie up yourself with your own words. You know? So you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we want to be free. We don't want to be under the dominion, the control of the enemy. The devil has set you. The devil has tried to tell you that you don't have any control, but you have lots of control. Jesus said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." Okay, so you have control over the enemy. We can command him. We can bind his power. We can loosen ourselves from him. We can walk away from him. For instance, a demoniac in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, there's a story about a demoniac. And he was, the Bible said he had 2,000 demons. I mean, he must have been a pretty strong guy to drag around, you know, 2,000 demons. He's already a strong man. In fact, he said that he broke chains. He had chains on him. And some people have spiritual chains on them too. But you can be free. And so those demons could not stop this man from going to Jesus. Even with that many demons, they couldn't stop him from going to Jesus. And Jesus set him free. Well, Jesus is not walking around here physically right now. He's here spiritually, but he gave us his word. This word is just like Jesus. When we read the word, we're spending time with Jesus. So we have control over the enemy. He doesn't have control over you. I remember a story relayed to us from the president of our college at Rhema. He told us of a story, I believe it was 1950. He had these visitations from the Lord. He had these appearances from Jesus. He said he was, Jesus appeared to him in a vision. And the Lord said to him, I'm going to teach you about demons, devils, demon activity. I want to show you and show you some, you know, and teach you about it. And so Jesus began to teach him. And suddenly this little demon came between him and Jesus. And so this demon was between Jesus, and he's looking at Jesus, and this demon came by, and he's there in the middle between them, and he started jumping up and down. He said, yakety yak, 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 jumping up and down. Every time he'd jump up, a puff of smoke, he couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't hear Jesus because he's yelling so much. He couldn't hear his words, and he couldn't even see Jesus' mouth to even read his lips because there's so much puff of smoke. And he's trying to look at Jesus. He said, I'm looking at this. Doesn't Jesus know? I'm not getting half of what he's trying to tell me. And finally, he got frustrated. He said, in the name of Jesus, stop it. He said that demon flopped on the floor and started trembling like that. And he said, okay. And it kind of hobbled off and walked away, got out of the way as Jesus was talking. And Jesus told Dr. Hagin, he said, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I couldn't. He shook his head. He said, wait a minute, I'm getting this wrong. You mean to say you wouldn't? No, he said, if you didn't do anything about it, I could not. He said, man, I'm getting this wrong. Because he's thinking about religiously his own thoughts. He said, Jesus, what are you talking about? He said, you mean to say if I didn't do anything about it, you wouldn't? He said, no, I told you, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I could not. And so, it appeared to him, after he understood this, is that Jesus has given us free will. The devil has free reign here for a certain time. He's going to be here. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you from learning about the Bible and learning about different things about the Scriptures. And he's going to do whatever he can do to deceive you. But you are going to have to do something about the devil yourself. You're going to take your authority and start using it and take control over your life. Can you say amen? And so, and he said, man, that's a revelation to me. He said, I can't believe that. So Jesus said, I'm going to give you scriptures. So he gave him a number of scriptures. And he said, you know, ever read the scripture? And they, well, I was going to use the scripture anyway. Ephesians 4:27, it talks about in there, give no place to the devil. Don't give him any place in your life. And if you don't give him any place, if you allow him to have a place in your life, then he's going to take a place of residence in your life somewhere. If you allow him. But you're going to have to take control over this. James 4:7 says, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He didn't say, okay, pray to Jesus and pray to the Holy Spirit, pray to God that he'll take the devil away from you. No. You have to do something about it. You have to cast the devils out. You take control over your devil. You start taking control of whatever it is that's affecting your life. Isn't this wonderful news? It's so good to understand, because once you understand that you have authority, that you actually have control, then you can be much more free to do what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah. You'll have to come back next time when we're going to have to talk about this. But I'm going to give you a little extra tonight. Maybe another 2-3 minutes. Praise God. So we don't have to give no place to the devil in our lives. You don't have to give him any dominion, any part of your life. And so what happens to people, they've given the devil control over their lives because of ignorance. Because they've never had any training, any spiritual training. They didn't have any ammunition, they didn't have the Word of God to declare and to say what happens in their lives. And so some people just let bad circumstances happen to them. So they have never prayed about their lives and don't pray in the Spirit. They don't pray about different things. They just let whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's not the way to do it. A lot of times I pray in the Holy Ghost and I just pray the will of God for my life. I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what I need to pray about, but is there something I have to deal with it right now? I'm praying for my life and those people that I'm going to influence, that need me to be in the will of God. I'm going to pray for myself, not just for myself, but for those people that I influence. So I pray in tongues. I mean, I pray in English about different things, ask Him to do different things. So I pray that way. So some people say, I can't control my anger. I get mad, especially when the Montreal Canadiens lose. Or something, I start swearing. And I can't control my tongue. I have a bad tongue. I need healing. So they say different things. So you catch people saying these things. They think, you know, I don't have control over it. I got no control. So one thing about it, you have to use your voice if you're going to start controlling. So everything is voice activated in the spiritual realm. So Jesus, going back to the story again, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, if you didn't do anything about that demon in your life, I couldn't. See, you have to give Jesus also, God, permission to enter in your life, to do something in your life as well. He just doesn't come around and do whatever He wants to do in your life. You have to invite the Holy Spirit, help you, and to do different things. For instance, if you go back to the Matthew chapter 16, and let's go ahead and read verse 19 again. Verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 19. I think I have... And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever the Holy Spirit binds on earth, whatever the pastor prays about. You'd be a sad bunch if I prayed about everything about you, because I'd forget everything. Some people say, they'll say, oh, pastor, can you pray for me? Oh, yeah, sure, praise God. Then I go and I forget about it. Because I can't remember everything. Let's write it down. Say, for instance, somebody called me the other day from Sault Ste. Marie. He said, can you go pray for my brother? He's in the hospital, had a stroke. I said, oh, yeah, praise God, I'll go right away. Then things happened, I forgot about it. I came back to the office, that same lady phoned again, wants you to go over there. Okay, so I write it down now. And somebody else tells me, my wife told me, that same person phoned again. Then Kendra brings me a note again this morning, this same lady phoned again. So we went over there today to the hospital and we prayed for that person. And we were able to minister salvation and pray to do something. No, watch this. We'll close with this. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So you're going to have to do some binding. Amen? I ain't coming over your house to bind anything. Whatever you bind on earth. In other words, who is he talking about? He's talking about earthlings. Any earthling, you have to do something. God's not going to just come and change your furniture around and wash your car. No, you're going to have to do that. Spiritually speaking, right? And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth. He's talking about whatever you permit or deem to be unlawful in your life. Whatever you decide, this is not going to happen anymore. I'm not allowing fear to control me anymore. I remember the day I decided that I'm not going to let fear. It took me quite a few years to actually, I had the revelation, but I still didn't feel like I was in control of fear. It took me a long time. I grew up with the understanding that I just have anxiety and I'm going to have to try to live with it. For many years, I would just have sweaty nights and sweaty palms and heart pounding all night long, and I was like, I can't breathe in my bed. And in fact, that happened to me twice with my wife. I had an attack like that. It came back. It tried to come back on me. I told my wife, call the ambulance. Send me to the hospital. I mean, don't look at me, lad. You probably did the same thing. And I prayed, but I had to take control. So don't judge me, because I went through a whole period about not having any of this stuff. And some of you think that you got rid of something, but he's going to come back on you. He'll try to come back. Wherever the devil was in your life, he's going to try to come back. What kind of devils you have in your family, your dad had, your mom had, they're going to try to come on you. But you have to understand that you that you have control. You got control over this. I'm telling you, there's demons in your family that's been hanging around for years and been trying to convince you about that. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your car. You're not going to be healthy. Especially the money is going to really drain out of you. And so you're scared at night. Hey? Okay, let's stand up. I know some of you are a little tired. Say, I have control.
I have control.
Say, I'm controlling my life. Say, fear doesn't control me. Say, anger doesn't control me. Or any kind of bad feelings. Say, I have control over my thought life. Say, my mind is my mind. Say, my feelings, my emotional condition, I'm responsible for. Say, I think good thoughts. I control how I feel. I decide how to act in life. Even if fear comes, I don't act on it. I act on what I think according to the scripture. Say, I control my destiny in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, I yield myself to you. See, some of you are having a hard time. I'm giving myself to you. Amen. So you can't say, Lord, you can't say this. You can't say, Lord, please control my wife. You know, please tell her to give me more food. They can control their own lives. So, Father, I pray for everyone here that heard the message of faith. I pray that they've been released in a very simple form of the Word of God. That they are better off tonight than they ever were from this time on. So we thank you as we continue to understand and learn about control. Who's in control? The devil, me, or circumstance? No, I'm in control. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If there's anybody here that hasn't given themselves to Jesus, you just say, Lord, come in my life. I receive you tonight as my Lord and my Savior. And those of you watching online, you say this. Say, Jesus, come in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe, like the disciples said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if you said that, you are now saved. You're a child of God, and you can control your destiny. God bless you. All right, guys, we shall see you again. Amen.